The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Ken Robinson is the CEO of DCU Sport, where they have the elite level gym and they have the general gym in DCU Sport. But Ken is also a highly qualified coach. He works with the Dublin Ladies football team. He's been part of that setup with Mick Bowen for the last 4 years. Ken, good morning to you. How are you?
Chair, good morning. I've just finished in the gym there myself, and I have to say, I'm actually sad. It's disappointing. That's what I'm tinged with. That's my first emotion this morning.
As in, there is an immediate sense of loss that you're not going to be able to do this 2 days' time.
And you know what? I mean, it's not about being self-serving. This is about, I was looking at a queue of our members coming in this morning, and our oldest member using the gym here is 92. She comes into the pool, she comes in her electric scooter, and she uses the pool. We have members in their 80s, 70s, 60s, the students. And look, let me just preface it all by saying we need to find a way to live with COVID risks for the next circa 12 months, you know, as we wait for safe and effective vaccines. We know that. This is not self-serving going, you know, flip COVID, we want the gyms open. That's not what it's about. We know we have to live with COVID risk. But the one thing I would say is in the last number of months since we opened, and not just DCU Sport, Ireland Active have lobbied for all the gyms with standards out there that have opened in a safe and effective way. I mean, for example, we've got a 30,000 square foot gym. We were having 66 people per hour maximum coming in. There was social distancing. Members were cleaning equipment. In each of our locker rooms, they had a pod. So you had seven max in a locker room. So the members were saying to us, never felt safer, really confident, and well done. And that's many gyms around the country. And we're disappointed that, you know, all gyms or all activity was just gone. We were ready to hit a button this morning, Jerry, if it came through, that we could go outdoor classes, a class every hour outdoors. That would have been a lovely compromise, because from a mental wellness point of view, from a community point of view, this is about belonging. I'll give you just a quick stat, if you don't mind. IRSA, which is the International Health and Racket Sports Association worldwide, the five top reasons that people choose their gym is, number one, atmosphere; two, social belonging; three, personality of people in the gym; four is class; and five is cleanliness. Now, if you're hitting all those buttons, the mental wellness and community aspect is absolutely huge. And that sense of belonging, that sense of purpose for people is now going to be gone.
I have to agree. I think it's a very blunt instrument approach to this. And, you know, we tried the county lockdowns, but county borders are completely manufactured. They're not a real thing at all. It's kind of something from that we inherited and have used for sports reasons. It didn't seem like we have tried an articulate way of tackling the issues.
Yeah. I mean, for example, a very easy way to say it, if somebody was actually negative about gyms, they could turn around and say, okay, let's have a member per square foot. That was IRSA's recommendations. So let's say it was a member for every 10 square feet. So therefore, you'd know that's your standard. So it would be very easy to police it and say, okay, what's your square footage? How many members are you allowing access? Because I have to say, the other thing as well, Ger, members are intelligent. People are intelligent. And people's first point of call in Maslow's hierarchy is self-preservation and security. If they felt, oh, I'm not going to go to that gym. I spoke to somebody the other day that went to a gym and didn't feel quite safe at it. I mean, size is good. Small gyms, if they're kept their numbers good, are also good. This is not about size or about, you know, we were policed by government. We were policed by standards. We were policed by our own university health and safety, who support us so well. So, and then the ultimate policing are your members. If members don't feel safe, they're discerning enough to go, well, I'm not going in there. Whereas we had to increase our hours, bring back more staff, and have the place open in a safe and meaningful way.
Was the business sustainable, you know, independent of being the fact, and maybe it's difficult to divorce the fact from your student gym as well. Like, are gyms sustainable under the regulations as they were this week before level five?
it's very easy for me in a university setting to be cozy and go, oh yes, but if I was KO or private gym, the answer is no. Unless Jerry, you were a small gym with low overheads and your landlord was going to be very, very, you know, accommodating, and that you had yourself and one other staff member. But when you go into the running costs of a gym, the running costs of a pool, all of those fixed costs, whether you have one member or 1,001 members coming in a week, you know, you've got your fixed overheads, and therefore, no, not sustainable. But the other thing I would say is, and you know, Ireland Active through Con McCluskey have done a great job on this, lobbying government. I think this could be a fantastic crossroads in this respect. If the government were to realize that gym activity, walking, swimming are the three top activities in the country. Now, it's interesting that the trend there is they're all individual, because people are flexible, they've got time to do it. But if they were to approach the standard, good standard gyms out there, that, and there are many. I was talking to Conor Mortimer the other day, running a great show in Glen Royal, Kevin Doyle running a great show in West Park, Alan Leach down in Westwood, running great gyms. If they were to say, you know what, we have an opportunity here to have a conduit and a channel for people's health and well-being, and maybe give people a tax back on people going to the gym. That's now not been any way opportunistic. Let's look at the great channel geographically that we have throughout the country. And if you were in rural Ireland, your gym, and I'm going to not compare, but your pub, your church, whatever it might be, your GAA, they're social hubs that really are huge for people's mental wellness.
I totally understand that. And I think that, you know, when we saw the ESRI's exercise monitor come out after the first period of lockdown and the gender gap had closed, it was clear that there's an opportunity here for us to look at the data that has emerged from the last 6 months and really change how we invest in sports, how we divvy up the funding going forward. But that's probably a question for another day. I know clearly in the introduction I mentioned that you're involved with the Dublin women's football team. So clearly you're a GAA person as well. There's a lot of antipathy out there this morning towards the notion that the GAA have got somehow special treatment in this, and that they don't deserve to be allowed to run their championships off, that it's too dangerous, that ultimately they're going to be forced to not run their championships off because of public opinion. What's your take on all that, Ken?
You know something, Ger, and I don't mean to be flippant when I say this, when we read back in history about the Civil War and there was two sides, I've never seen anything living in real time that's like a civil war, because people will have differing opinions from the same household, let alone from different parts of the country. I don't think it's a war. It's a war against COVID, not to be cliche. But I think we can't bash the GAA. If I wasn't involved in the GAA, I would be saying, wasn't it wonderful to sit at home last Saturday night and watch Dublin and Meath? Or, you know, watch the under 20 semi-finals on Saturday, the final coming up this Saturday, Galway and Dublin. You know, Laois playing Dublin hurling this week, you know, Kilkenny playing, Cork playing. We love sport, and viewing it, and I think is absolutely crucial. Imagine this. Imagine if you were in a small house in rural Ireland with nothing going on around you, your pub closed, your church closed. My God Almighty, to be able to watch a really entertaining game on TV. And I don't buy this, oh, it's behind closed doors. We've watched rugby behind closed doors. We've watched, you know, soccer behind closed doors. We would watch anything. You know, you can enjoy it. So I don't think we should be bashing GAA. I think we should be saying, isn't it wonderful that the tide is rising everywhere? And the more we can have, the better.
I guess it comes back to your whole point at the start about living with COVID, and either we get a little bit more nuanced at it or we don't, and we continue to have this blunt instrument of a lockdown. Like, in 6 weeks' time, if the figures go down, great, and then there'll be a month of everybody going mad and the figures will go back up, and then we have another lockdown, and then...
Absolutely. The yo-yo effect is there. And Ger, I'm not expert enough to be able to give stats on it. But I, you know what? Other illnesses and other critical situations haven't gone away during COVID. This is not in a COVID embargo where everything else is sort of staying neutral. Like, we buried a lovely young lad last week who took his own life in our club. And, you know, I know... somebody, I lost staff members that couldn't afford to live in Dublin anymore because of the cost of living. And, you know, there's so much stuff going on out there from a mental wellness point of view. Cancer still exists. Heart attacks still exist. And the flu this time of the year would be, I'd say, at a high number. So we do have to get robust and live with it. But I think we have to take, we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater, to use that cliche. We need to look at this sensibly and say, what do people need? And we're social animals. We want to be involved with people. You know, people often say during this, we have an online presence. So we're starting our online classes today. And members reaching out to, whether it's Emma or John teaching, is wonderful. But the other thing as well, people would say, oh, you know, you can have your home gym and be in your, on your own. At the end of the day, you want scenery in a stadium. You want socialization in the gym. And it is that social aspect that's the real mental wellness boost.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.